Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, and with me in studio, you know him, you love him, he is the local hero himself, Sumter firefighter extraordinaire, Mr. Chris Rankin. Chris, what's going on, brother?
Yeah, it's going good. How you doing?
Hey, I know for a fact you'd be safe walking into the studio because of all the Florida monsoons, there's absolutely no fire or so I would think that would be happening, at least out in nature, you know.
Well, you got lightning strikes, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's a few out there today.
That's what took you out of the studio the other week was a lightning strike. You think I'd know better by now? I don't know. Anyways, at Hydraulic Uprights on Twitter, damn it. There you go. And, of course, the personality of the show, give it up to my man, Weasel Weasel.
Yeah, boy.
Stephen Weasel Hurley. That was a pretty weak Weasel Weasel on my part, shouting you out. I'm going to try Weasel Weasel.
Yeah, boy.
There you go. See, I got it right. That was me. That was my fault, okay? I messed that up.
Step it up.
I'm not going to lie. My voice is still a little scratchy from my birthday. You know, it's just a number. I turned 36, but whatever. I'm still punking kids 12 years younger than me on the field. That's right.
And he was still partying like it was 1999.
That's right. That's right. I can actually claim that. That's kind of sad, actually. I don't know. Anyway, so you know what else is kind of sad is looking through some of the headlines here. Okay, so I know there have been fights that have taken place. There's always fights that take place during training camp. I mean, you know, we had Cam Newton in one. We talked about that the other week. We had Dez Bryant in one. There seemed to be a lot of star players getting into altercations at training camp. But then there's the latest one involving would-be Jets starter Geno Smith. I say would-be because he got punched in a state known as RITF, right in the face. Go ahead, Weasel. You do
it. I was just making sure you got that.
Go. Give it your
right in the face.
I know you wanted it that bad. That's okay. I saw it in your face. That's how you know we're in studio together. If it were on the phone, I might have just let it slide. But you wanted that, and that's okay. But he got hit right in the face, and a broken jaw will be out 6 to 10 weeks. And it was between him and a former teammate. He was cut immediately after the incident. Of course, I doubt Jets fans are surprised that he was picked up by Rex Ryan the very next day. But we've managed to acquire some leaked audio from the incident of Geno Smith getting punched.
Where's my money? You gonna give me my money? Where's my money, man?
Okay, so allegedly there was a limo bill behind it or something, I guess. So, you know, this could explain.
It was a plane ticket.
It was a plane ticket.
It was a plane ticket.
I see. I've heard plane ticket. I've heard limo bill.
He was having a camp and Geno Smith was supposed to show up to it. And he bought him like a $600 airfare ticket and he didn't show up and Geno Smith said he'd pay him back at training camp.
The thing was that for Geno Smith, he had like a close friend or something like that.
His brother. It was his brother.
Someone died. So,
boys.
So he kind of had an excuse, but.
I don't know. He died. I thought he was in the hospital.
I think it's been about, 9 months ago or so? I think the actual plane ticket, whenever that happened.
There's been so much trauma here.
It's been a while.
I don't even know what to do with that.
It's just kind of funny because you think Geno Smith, you know, he's the victim and everything, but we're saying that in the locker. I think one of the quotes he used against the IK guy, I don't know, I forgot his name.
The former Jets linebacker.
Yeah, he said something like, he pointed his finger right in his face. I think he even touched the face. And he said, "You're not going to do anything about it," or something like that. So,
Geno Smith did that. And then, of course, the response was.
It's crazy. And
the
latest news on Geno Smith
is
that he was throwing around a football with someone and the Jets are mad.
Well, right. He was supposed to be, you know, resting and recuperating after the surgery in question. And now he's throwing footballs and all he needs to do is get hit in the face by one of those. And then we got an even bigger problem. But, you know, I won't even get into that. That's crazy right here. So there's another news item that we have to go over. But before we do that, I got somebody who I want to weigh in on this. And basically, I don't know if you guys have heard this guy yet, but he belongs in front of a microphone. Now, normally you might hear a voice the likes of his in front of a podium at some sort of a press conference because he sounds like a coach. But he's about ready to drop some knowledge on you. The host of the NGSC West Recess and, of course, the newly debuted Black Hole Brigade Raider show on NGSC Sports. Give it up for my man, Jerome Butler. But if you don't know, his name's Raider Rome. Raider Rome, what's going on, my man?
Hey, great show so far, Kyle. How you feeling, man? Hey. I'm really enjoying what you guys are putting down over there.
Well, hey, it's only about to get better when we bring you aboard for this next topic. And I'm sure you've heard by now about James Harrison and his, I guess I could call it public outrage at this point, regarding participation trophies. Weasel, I think you may know more about the story than me, so fill the gaps where I'm missing it. But it boils down to his kid got a participation trophy.
I think his two sons. His two sons got a participation trophy. And Harrison was just like, you ain't gonna have this. And
so
he was saying how you got to, like, you know, earn it. You got to deserve it.
Right.
And so I don't know. I think he sent him back or something like that, or gave the participation trophies back to the coach or whoever it was. So,
right.
So I think he's got a point, because I think nowadays it's like they're giving out trophies for everyone. So he wants that kind of earn it. And you're not going to everything's not going to be given to you type thing.
Yeah. It's good for him, because I feel the same way with my kids playing sports. I get participation awards. No. You want a trophy, you need to win to get that trophy. That's the way it was when I was younger, growing up.
Win the game.
You go, you got to win. You don't like it, well, you practice, get better, you beat them next time, then you win the trophy.
That's another soundbite I need to get for this show, is you play to win the game. Right or wrong, man, weigh in on this thing. I knew what these guys were going to say. What do you have to say about the James Harrison anomaly, my friend?
Well, I can actually kind of see this situation from both sides of the coin. You want your kids to actually earn what they're given. You don't want them to have, like, handouts and things of that nature, because they can continue on into your adulthood, where you would just start to think that everything should be given to you. But on the other end, I do believe that he's overreacting a bit, because there are some kids who, you know, they aren't that great at sports. They'll probably never be superb athletes. And they give them a try, and it's okay to give them a trophy just for saying that you gave it a shot. But I can't understand James Harrison wanting his kids to work hard. So there's no right or wrong answer here. I have no issue with it either way. I can see both sides of the coin.
Yeah, and kind of to add to what I would call, like, the less popular side, I think the best point that they have, because, look, I'm not going to front. I'm not going to give the trophy back, but I'm going to make sure, you know, if and when my girl plays sports, I mean, she's 15 months old now. I mean, she might do swimming lessons soon. She's not ready to get trophies yet. But, you know, if the difference, because nowadays, look, I grew up with a lot of these cats who you couldn't get out from in front of the television, all right? You know, Chris was a member of the group of friends that I had that actually played some sports. Weasel was as well in high school. I mean, you know, we did it up. But I also had, you know, the contingent of people that I later worked in the IT industry with. They're not getting off the couch. And the only way you could really get them to do it, maybe, is to have some incentive, something to make them feel good about playing. If just the act of playing, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's kind of a false lure. But by the same token, if it gets them out in front of an Xbox or whatever for a few hours, I mean, maybe that's worthwhile too, especially if it's like, if they're like younger than 10 years old. I don't know. I kind of see both sides of the coin, but if you put me to it, hey, I'm with my boys here. You know, you got to step that up.
Yeah, I mean, James Harrison said it best right here, where he said, because sometimes your best is not enough, and that should drive you to want to do better, not cry and whine until somebody gives you something to shut you up and keep you happy.
Damn, I didn't hear about that part. That's pretty solid, though. I mean, like let's meet in the middle on this. Because, like, you and I, back in our day, Chris, might get a ribbon. While everybody else got, like, you know, this bad awesome trophy, you know. Now, I don't know. So,
I mean, I see the ribbon or whatever. Yeah, you give the kids something. I can see maybe participation trophy isn't like a little T-ball or like under 5 soccer or something like that, but now, once you get past that, you know, 5-year-old level, once you start moving up, it should be just straight.
What about this? And this may be tougher for other sports, but, like, instead of a participation trophy, like, everybody gets a baseball. So, like, if you're somebody who doesn't win, if you get a participation, like, if, assuming your kid is playing baseball, I picked this out of the sky, but if your kid doesn't win, then he gets a baseball so he can at least use the damn thing to practice. I mean, right?
Right.
See, Weasel's nodding.
He's okay. Like, yeah, I kind of see it. Surprised you brought up baseball.
Yeah, and I knew you were going to comment. That's okay. That's why I made sure to explain it. See, you know, you got to be careful, Raider Rome, when you bring up baseball on the show, because if you do that.
Wait, would the next year be a glove so they can catch?
Maybe. Gloves are expensive, though. I'm just. all right, guys. What do you say we get into it? Let's talk a little bit of the foosball here on the Student of the Game. Hey, good times here on NGSC Sports, by the way. Say, hey, Raider Rome, just a random question. Have you checked out G. Stelio and his coverage of the West and his previews there? I mean, if you haven't, I'm not calling you out. I'm just letting you know. It's a good time.
Say it again, Kyle.
Well, G. Steelio did a bunch of previews for the NFL West on NGSC Sports. I was wondering, you a man of Western football, if you checked those out yet, is all.
I checked out the Oakland Raider one about a week back. You guys got me. I haven't really checked out any of the other ones yet.
Oh, hey, you're Raider Rome. You're not Bronco Rome. I'm not fronting, but check it out.
That would be completely sacrilegious there, Kyle. I don't think I could ever do that one.
No, that's some Sun Tzu Art of War stuff, man. You're supposed to know thy enemy.
Keep your enemy. Yeah, you're right. Keep your enemies closer. But that's just one enemy I want to probably stay about 50 feet away from until October 11th and December 13th.
Fair enough, man. I can't front on that. So let's break down some of these enemies and also your Raiders here as we get on it right now here on the Student of the Game. By the way, check out the Raiders and all the other previews on NGSCSports.com. Good times all the way around. I have to admit, I know how much energy it takes to write 32 reviews. It sucks. But G. Steelio's knocking it down every day, so I always make it a point to prop him on what he's doing here because it's absolutely amazing. But enough about that. He's not on the show right now, and I have Raider Rome on the show, and we're about to talk some AFC West here going through. We'll open up with the Chargers. Now, everybody by now, if you haven't listened to this show, knows how I feel about the San Diego Chargers and Philip the Fraud Rivers. You would also know by now how I feel about what that team's done since Mike McCoy has come over to this team and brought them a bit of success, making playoffs and things like that. I'm going to say this. That receiver core, look out. That running back core, it ain't half bad. But I still need to see more defense up front before I dub them a true threat to be a champion in the division, let alone going beyond the first round of the playoffs. I have them finishing for the year at 9-7 overall, 3-3 in the division. But check out this receiver core here. I got my notes in front of me finally. Keenan Allen, Malcolm Floyd, Stevie Johnson, Austin Pettis, formerly the number two receiver on the Rams. And oh, by the way, if that wasn't enough, Jacoby Jones involved, a.k.a. the Duck Hunter who bailed out Joe the Foul Flacco and all the ducks he was throwing the year at the Super Bowl in 2012. And oh, by the way, special teams threat, boom. What do you do with that? That's amazing. I know that Antonio Gates is out for 4 weeks, but, you know, with Darius Green, tight end extraordinaire coming in for that. Look, that's a good-looking offense. I just don't think they can stop anybody. I don't know. And, oh, by the way, Philip Rivers, $65 million guaranteed over the next 4 years.
Guys, 33 years old right now.
Yeah, I think they're assuming he's going to retire before that money gets paid out, too. I don't know. Anyways, 9-7, 3-3 in the division for me. Weasel Weeze, Chargers, go.
I think a big part of their offense, it's a rookie running back, Melvin Gordon. I think he could be a big boost, and hopefully that'll give the Chargers a more balanced offense with Philip Rivers, cha-ching, and the rookie. So I'd like to see how that turns out. So.
Well, and don't forget Danny Woodhead and Brandon Oliver in that core already. That's a solid
not just
group.
Him. So I do have them going 10-6 and 3-3 in the division.
One game different than me, and it could be the difference between playoffs and not. I have in my notes here, I have them on a 4-game losing streak to finish the season and take themselves out of the playoffs. Chris, what's up?
Yeah, Chargers, you know, they lost Ryan Matthews in the offseason.
They did.
You know, he last year they did so well because of Ryan Matthews. You know, he didn't get hurt.
Yeah, him actually playing a full season for once.
Correct. So, I mean, last year they were 9-7. This year they play, the West plays NFC North, AFC North. Their bonus games are Dolphins and Jags.
Not a kidney.
No, they're not. But I got them taking a step back this year. I got them going 8-8 just because, you know, losing Ryan Matthews. And then got them 8-8, 3-3.
You don't think this running back core has that polished? No.
I just think how well Ryan Matthews did last year. I just.
Yeah.
You know, it's just once that goes back, and then also Philip Rivers getting the new contract, you know how contracts go sometimes. So.
That could be. As odd as it is, as much schmack as I talk on Rivers, I think it's going to tend to affect him less because his ego is that big. I think he's still...
Of course he needs it. He's got like five kids or six kids. So.
Yeah, at least they're legitimate. Give him credit. Anyways, Raider Rome, know thy enemy. Tell us how you feel the Chargers are going to compete in the AFC West this year, my man.
Well, I still think San Diego, they got a lot going for themselves. They actually took care of a major issue there by getting Phillip Rivers paid for the next 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
So he's got 65 million reasons to play a lot better. They really need to go ahead and take care of that Eric Weddle situation, because I still believe he's the leader of their defense. And if he's unhappy, things may still be a bad over there on their defense. But out of all the teams in the division, San Diego, they're probably still the second best team. Oakland's getting better. And Kansas City, you never know what you're going to get from them. I don't even know if they're going to throw a touchdown pass to a wide receiver this season or whatnot. But Melvin Gordon, though, I hope that guy can come out and be the real deal. Because, I mean, I've always been a big fan of his, even from Wisconsin. So I'd like to see him get 1,200 yards and about 6 to 7 rushing touchdowns. And that would really help their offense. And December's going to be very huge for them. They deal with us on Christmas Eve. And I think that game could be a game that determines whether they make the playoffs or not. And I'm going to go ahead and say maybe 9-7 this season for San Diego. They're still the second best team in the division, and they can get to 9 wins easy, in my opinion.
By the way, on that Christmas Eve game, I'll go ahead and give you a little early Christmas gift. I already have the Raiders winning that one. I'm just
saying. As do I.
Boom! Double the. See, that's two Christmas gifts. And all you had to do was call into this show, Raider Rome.
Oh, I definitely will do that. I appreciate that, Kyle. Let's just hope the Raider Nation can go out there and get the job done and make you a profit.
Hey, well, you know, and if so, I want a shout-out from the Black Hole Brigade on the Friday after. I'm just saying.
You know you got that, most definitely. That's coming to you if Oakland can get the job done.
No doubt. Okay, so speaking of teams that have struggled to get the job done, or at least their receiver cores, as Raider Rome pointed out, the Kansas City Chiefs. Chris, go.
Yeah, the Chiefs, like you said, they're, I mean, with receiving core, they got Percy Harvin, or no, not Percy Harvin, no, Macklin, Jeremy Macklin.
Jeremy Macklin,
so they added the receiving core there, but still, you got the king of the check down, Alex Smith, there going.
The king of the check down.
They were 9-7 last year also with the Chargers. They were 3-3 in the division, but I got them going 8, taking one more step back, too. I think they're going 8-8, 3-3 also.
Yeah. I can't front on that. I mean, look, I like their situation on defense. Their front is still stupid good. The list of players they have there is fantastic. They've taken care of people properly money-wise, specifically in this case, Justin Houston. And Eric Berry and Sean Smith at corner, beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff. They just don't have enough at the receiver spot. They got Macklin. You said a good receiver core. Hey, look, I'm not buying it. I think Raider Rome is point on. Raider Rome, let me give you a quick pop quiz. Who's more likely to have more touchdown catches in 2015? That core or J.J. Watt? I'm doing it now. Go.
Well, I don't know. I'm being a bit facetious. I think Jeremy Macklin should be able to help out that wide receiver deal. So I'm going to go ahead and go with the Kansas City wide receiving core. Should be able to get some touchdown catches this season.
Weasel.
One more time.
J.J. Watt or the receiver core of the Kansas City Chiefs in 2015. More touchdowns.
I think it'll be the Chiefs. Macklin, I think, is going to get, get about 6 or 7.
Chris.
I'm going to get J.J. Watt.
If they play with tight end or something.
Besides Jeremy Macklin and the tight end Travis Kelce, there's really, you know,
there's no mediocre one else
second
catch,
round,
yeah.
You know, second tier, third tier.
Keep in mind, I said receivers. Travis right. Kelce doesn't count here.
Right.
And I say it's J.J. Watt on the strength of him throwing a touchdown this year and adding one more to his number. Okay, maybe not. But I just want to dream about it.
He does have the J.J. Watt. He does have the coordination to one of his touchdown catches.
Oh, my God.
It was over the head in the corner of the end zone. Brought it in.
It was against the Raiders. No offense, bro.
Brought it in. Very impressive.
So, Weasel, KC, get it.
Well, I think Macklin's going to, you know, definitely help him out. And so, just a quick article that I looked at. Breaking. Chiefs wide receiver catches touchdown pass. So that was I was like, that's not bad.
Nice. Weasel, up to the minute with reporting news. Boom.
So, I had them going 10-6, 4-2 in the division.
10-6, 4-2.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not as optimistic as you. I have the Chiefs 5-11, 2-4 in the division.
Wow.
Raider Rome, set us straight. What do you got for the Chiefs this year?
I got Kansas City, myself, taking a step back. Because I think they've overachieved over the last couple of seasons. They're getting a bit older. They still have that dangerous defense. But offensively, they still have a lot to be desired. And it seems like the only person on that team that can't throw touchdown pass the wide receivers is Chase Daniel. And he's the one, and he's sitting on their bench.
Fair enough, my man. Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and go 7-9 for Kansas City. And they actually take a step back in the division.
Apparently, I have them taking two steps back with my 5-11. And just because you're required to mention him every time you talk about the Chiefs, Jamaal Charles, because he's amazing. And he's all they got. Anyways, the Denver Broncos. Weasel, open it up.
All right, so I think they're going to have a pretty dangerous rushing game. It's going to be led by Von Miller.
Von Miller.
So he can give, you know, Peyton Manning some extra possessions. And they got their running game. If it gets going, more balanced offense, then I could see them going 12-4, 4-2 in the division.
Fair enough. Raider Rome, I'm going to pass it to you a little earlier on this one. Broncos, what you got?
Well, you still got number 18 behind center, and that's good enough to get you to the top of this division. And C.J. Anderson, he's a pretty decent running back, so I like what he brings to the table. Denver, they're still going to be a tough team, although they're a bit older now. Demaryius Thomas got his money, so that's kind of a concern area also. Is he going to still be hungry, or will he actually take a step back? But defensively, they are starting to get a little long in the tooth. So I say this is Denver's last go-round. The division will be up for grabs in 2016. But this season, Denver's good enough to win 11 games and still get themselves a top three seed in the AFC.
Well, if they don't do the job, he'll be even hungrier because according to his commercials, winners don't get wings. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely, according to Demaryius. But they better win so they can get those wings.
Hey, you can't front on a good set of chicken wings. I'm just saying.
So. Ain't nothing wrong with chicken. So, yeah, I'll definitely be up there trying to get my win. You know me, I'm a big guy. I got to have that chicken.
There you go. Hey, I'm an O-lineman. We don't have to talk about big and food. You already know I understand. Anyways.
Yeah, I know where you at with it, Kyle. It's all good.
So, hey, something that's about as good as a bowl of chicken wings, though, is this running back core. You mentioned C.J. Anderson, but don't forget Monty Ball, Ronnie Hillman. Not bad in support. Denver historically goes with running committees, and this is a good one this year. The difference between Peyton Manning finishing a season, perhaps, at age 155,000 years old, and not. You know, last year, of course, he had that injury that no one really knew about or talked about, which is still weird. But I'm going to go ahead and call it at this point, even though I'm well before my prime to have to leading up to the season. I think Manning retires after this season. That's right of seven.
Regardless.
If he misses the playoffs, he's going to retire. If he wins the Super Bowl, he's going to retire. If he loses again in the AFC Championship game, I will lower my percentage to 80. But I guess my answer is yes. I think he's gone either way. Chris, wrap it up.
Yeah, you didn't give your record.
Oh, I did. Record. Well, and I am moron. 11-5, 4-2 in the division, including a sweep of your Kansas City Chiefs.
I guess I should have gone first for you to copy my paper then. Because I got them going 11-5, 4-2. I got them taking a step back.
Why are you copying my paper?
You know, losing Julius Thomas.
Yes.
The tight end. I mean, you got Owen Daniels. And Virgil Green.
Yeah,
Owen
Daniels isn't bad, but he's not as fast as Thomas by any stretch.
Right. So, I mean, it's Peyton Manning. He makes every tight end look good, too. So
Jacob Tammy. Okay? Right. All I got to tell you. Jacob Tammy, Ben Utecht, and I think his name is Brandon Moorhead. All tight ends that saw success in Indianapolis, not named Dallas Clark. Yes, Dallas Clark! I haven't gotten to do that in years because he retired. Anyways, Chris.
Yeah, so with that, they... But even with the receivers, they only show on their depth chart three wide receivers right now. Two tight ends, three wide receivers on their depth chart.
I mean,
so.
You know, they got Demaryius and Sanders. I mean, what more do they really need when you break it down? I'm just saying.
All right.
Anyways. So, yeah, Broncos. Would you have for
yeah,
the
I had 11
oh,
and 5,
yeah,
11
4,
and
4 and 2. You did say that because you copied my paper. That's why I don't remember. Anyways, let's take it to the featured event himself, Raider Rome. Roman is waiting to the show to talk about the Raiders. Drop it, my man. What do you got on Oakland?
Well, The last six games of the season last season, hey, it actually gave us a little bit of optimism. They went 3-3, and I can't remember a stretch where the Raiders went 3-3 over a six-game stretch. So I'm pretty optimistic about this. You got DC4, Derek Carr, with another year in the system, so he's going to get better. His leadership skills seem to be improving. Then you got that big, powerful running back, Latavius Murray. So, I mean, I don't know who's going to try to step in front of a 6'3", 225 train. I'm going to have to pass on that myself. Then the smartest move they made right there, I wanted Leonard Williams in the draft. Hey, it shows why the Oakland Raiders know more than me. You go pick up a guy like Amari Cooper, he can actually change the game. Then you sign a player such as Michael Crabtree. He comes out, and he's on a one-year deal, so you know he's going to come out hungry because he wants to get paid. So things are going to be a lot better there offensively. You actually kind of saw it a little bit on Friday night. It's getting there. Defensively, we're getting a little better. You got Khalil Mack, a guy who I think could be one of the best defensive players in this league over the next year or two. He just has to start to get his sack numbers up. Then you pair him up with C.O. Moore, who's another good player. He just has to get his head into the game. The secondary scares me, though. I mean, outside of T.J. Carey, you got D.J. Hayden, a guy who could be a complete bust. So if these guys can actually play well, the Raiders could have a decent secondary. And from what I'm looking at here, they're going to be a much improved team. I just don't think they're ready to take that big step yet in the AFC to being a playoff team. But you could see the Raiders surprise a few teams and go into December with an outside shot at it. And if they can finish 7-9, I'd be really, really happy with that. And it's showing progress. So 7-9 for me it is. With a sweep of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, look out. That's a big deal for if you're a Raiders fan to say that, by the way. Weasel, talk it up.
Weren't the Raiders the same team that picked, I think, a top 10 pick, Darius Heyward-Bey?
They were.
Oh, yeah, don't remind us. Don't.
I think Armani Cooper is I think he's a little better. But,
I was going to say that, too. I love the fact that Raider Rome is now comfortable enough to say that the Raiders organization is smarter than him in drafting. Weasel.
I will say this, though. The Vikings did pick, when they traded away Randy Moss, they had a first-round pick. They did pick Troy Williamson, so I feel your pain on that one.
Is that the bag of Skittles trade to the Raiders that you're mentioning?
It's like he would have been like a third or fourth round pick, but he's like, ooh, he ran really fast, a 4.3. Ooh, let's pick him seventh overall.
I don't know. I would still take Troy Williamson over DHB myself. So hey, yeah, it wasn't that bad of a pick.
See, hey, we've come to know Troy Williamson in that whole trade as a situation. Whenever Weasel and I talk about a pack of Skittles, that trade is what we're referring to because they pretty much gave up Randy Moss for a pack of Skittles. Boom. Anyways. you know, I gotta say this much, Rome. As much as we're talking about Darius Heyward-Bey, you would be remiss in if you didn't bring up my dude Michael Crabtree, who has picked up the pick immediately after DHB, and that pick being so bad, the 49ers had to wait for a four-week holdout of Michael Crabtree because Darius Heyward-Bey got picked before him and asked for more money. I don't know. I'm just saying.
That had to have been one of the weirdest happenings in draft history there.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael Crabtree, I mean, he's like markedly better than Darius Heyward-Bey. I hear DHB is now a special team superstar out of Pittsburgh, but not what he was drafted to do.
No, it wasn't. And nor was he drafted to be the number three receiver for the Indianapolis Colts as he was in years past. But I digress. Anyways, you know, I'm with you, Rome. I have the Raiders stepping forward a bit. I mean, you touched on the fact that in most positions, they have a standout guy who is a quote-unquote leader at the position. I'm with you. That deep secondary is where I'm a little bit concerned. I'd like to see a little bit more in their defensive line personally. But, you know, hey, at the end of the day, that front is still awesome as a group. And Justin Tuck can bring some experience there to help Khalil Mack lead this front to be a pretty dangerous one. I mean, the Chiefs have the bar set pretty high for the best in the division, but they'll certainly be, I think, arguably the second best, depending on the Broncos, if the Broncos could back up all the schmack that they're talking with their defense. By the way, if you don't mention Trindon Holiday as an improvement to that special teams, trust me, he is. All the run backs he's had for the Broncos to help make that team complete, and he was missing from there last year. You noticed a difference there. Their special teams did not have the same impact. That aside, your Raiders step forward a bit. They win 6 games out of 10. I did think about 7-9, but I just couldn't quite do it. But do go 3-3 in the division. Weasel, did I have you go yet?
Not yet.
Go for it.
from 3-13 last season. I'm picking them to improve to 5-11, and in the division 1-5. And got a question? I'm sure you've heard it, but is Raiders quarterback Derek Carr, is he a franchise player?
Raider Rome, take it.
I'm going to definitely say yes, just basically off of the fact that he was able to throw for over 3,000 yards and 21 touchdowns with what could be at best a patchwork receiving core last year. Ross Streeter is at best the number three, number four guy in any other offense. But now with the Raiders actually having some toys for him to throw to, and even with Michael Rivera getting better at the tight end position, I say Carr should be able to approach 4,000 yards a season and get about 25 touchdown passes, improving this offense. So I would say that he will continue to grow towards being that franchise quarterback that the Oakland Raiders need.
True or false, Raider Rome? Last year, Michael Rivera was the top receiver wearing an Oakland Raider uniform.
I'll have to go with true.
Boom. I thought so. I don't blame you, because Rod Streeter. That's why. I'm just saying. I don't know. Chris, did you weigh in on the Raiders?
Yeah, no.
I'm just so excited to talk to Rome, I keep forgetting. Go ahead, Chris. Wrap it up.
No, I agree with everyone here that Raiders are going to be improving this year. I like what they're doing to the receiver core there, because that's what they haven't had out there in Oakland the last few years. Latavius Murray, you know, of course, he was an ex-UCF player. So.
Who's say FA? That's right, baby. Alumni Central.
So, you know, we know what he does personally here, what he's done.
We've seen him run people over in person. Right. That's correct.
So, with the running back there, I got them going 6-10 also, but 2-4 in division.
Yeah, my only concern, really, that successful out of the division, that's kind of cool. Okay. But the only real danger I see with Murray is the concussion problems, right? I mean, those need to be curbed for him to see success. And the rest of that running back core is interesting, but Rome, I've got to ask you about this at this point here. We're through walking through the teams and all that stuff, but I got to ask you about this, because, and I'm sure you've at least seen it on Facebook, if not watching the game live yourself. What is up with my dude, Trent Richardson, missing the hole like he's allergic to the color green and running into the pile? What's up with that, bro?
There's even two different schools of thought you can go with this one, Kyle. One, either something is seriously wrong with Trent Richardson's peripheral vision on his left side, or B, he really loves running into piles. But either way, he really needs to get that checked out. Because if you continue to miss holes where you have a touchdown, if you actually look to the left and cut back, he's not long for the NFL, and he may not make it out of the first round of cuts for Oakland. So he better really get that together, because I personally like Michael Dyer myself, the undrafted guy out of Louisville.
Yeah.
So it's not looking good for Trent.
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. What do a sculptor and Trent Richardson have in common? You're sure to get a bust out of them. Boom.
That's a good one.
Hey, I pulled that from the hip. That's what I do on the show, son. Weasel, what do you got?
So back in the day, 2012. So Trent Richardson, he was a... Browns were at the fourth overall pick, but the Vikings had the third overall pick.
Yes.
And so the Browns were so scared that someone was going to trade in front to take away their Richardson. So they gave the Vikings, well, the fourth pick in exchange, you know, for the third, a fourth round pick, fifth round pick, and a seventh round pick. One of those players, wide receiver Jarius Wright. So to trade up one spot, and you got the good old Indianapolis Colts, who they gave up a first round draft pick for the guy. So.
Yeah, that they did. You know what, though? After you draft Andrew Luck, you get a freebie. At the end of the day, there still is no excuse for the Redskins whiffing for Griffin. Boom.
I'll just say this. RG3, he's saying that he could be the best quarterback in the NFL.
I see. Yep. I'm a
confidence.
Pop quiz right here. I think I already know Raider Rome's answer, but I'll let him answer. Best three character quarterback in the league, RG3 or DC4? Weasel.
DC4.
Chris.
DC4.
Rome.
DC4.
Okay, unanimous. Boom. Drop. I don't want to drop my mics because I actually buy them for myself, but I'll get a soundbite of a dropped mic and have it for next time for a question like that. Anyways, so Raider Rome, man, this was amazing. We are going to have you back on. This was just... awesome. I can't put it any better. But go ahead.
I was I was happy to be on, Kyle. I'm glad that you got me in there. We was able to talk a little Raider football, talk about the AFC West at large. And you guys do a great thing over here. I'm going to have to check you out more often. You guys keep working it.
Hey, man, this is how we get converts. We have you on the show to let it know we don't mess around. It's that simple. Anyways, bro, man, tell the people where they can find you, brother.
You can find me over there on Twitter at DaSportsButler, D-H Sports Butler. And you can also find me on Facebook at Jerome Butler. And I've got my page over on the NGSCSports.com for the NGSC West Recess and the Black Hole Brigade. So if you ever want to check out any of our shows, just go over there and give us a listen. And we try to have fun just like you guys do, so it's going to be great. So check us out and enjoy the Black Hole Brigade Friday nights and the NGSC West Recess Wednesday evenings at 11 p.m. Eastern on the NGSC.
Of course, since it's the West Recess, we drop that in Pacific time. It's 8 o'clock Pacific, 11 Eastern for the West Recess. Boom. Fighting West Coast bias one show at a time. You think I'd used to host it or something. Oh, wait. Ro, man, I dig it like a shovel, brother, that you were here. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me, Kyle.
Way to Rome, man. Fantastic stuff, this guy. So, I have, now think about this. To me, he sounds similar, very similar to another guy I like and follow. And I'll give you guys time to ponder that after the break. You're listening to NGSC Sports. You're listening to NGSC Sports Radio. Hear us live on NGSCSports.com, where you can get awesome analysis for all things sport. Or check out our podcasts on iHeartRadio, Spreaker, iTunes, TuneIn, and much more. For our latest videos, head to NGSC Sports YouTube channel. Follow us on Twitter at NGSC Sports and like us on Facebook. NGSC Sports. We never stop. You know, I figured I owed you after last week trying to do it and then hit the wrong damn button. So there you go.
I was like, yeah, you hit the right button this time.
I sure did. That's right. See, there's this thing called a computer. And when you double click on the appropriate item, it decides to work. Boom. What? I mean, there you go. Because technology. And of course, a bit of technology you might be using there. You are listening to NGSC Sports. This is the student of the game. Of course, I am Kyle Nash, the student of the game. Here with me, local hero and Sumter County firefighter extraordinaire, Mr. Chris Rankin. I got to tell you, Raider Rome kind of made the AFC West a bit more interesting than we would have thought. Because he fights West Coast bias every week, right?
Right, yeah.
You know, it was good times. Weasel Wheeze!
Yeah, boy!
See, I was a good Weasel Wheeze. I got my game stepped up now. I think Rome got me hyped. Give me all those props, you know. So, I'm going to ask it. Here's your pop quiz, guys. And Rome will hear this and probably laugh later. But, whom do you think he sounds like in my fandom? No, and I'm not saying J.J. Watt. I'm not saying that. But when I hear him, does anybody else hear Herm Edwards?
I could see that.
Right?
I just
know one day he's going to be like, Kyle, you play to win the game. And I won't know what to do.
Give him a couple years, yeah? I got you.
He's a little young for that now. That's a fair point, Weasel. I don't know. Chris, what do you think? Herm Edwards?
No, I don't.
No?
I
you don't
hear
see
it?
It?
No.
Fine. Just ruin it all. I tried, Rome. I tried to make it great, but Chris wouldn't have. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways, let's get into this NFC West division. Get a little bit of a breakdown, broken down here on the NFC West. And of course, this year we're going to open with the Arizona Cardinals. Look, guys, there's only one reason why they didn't get beyond the first round. Injuries. Am I wrong? No, I don't think so. Yes, I know. Everybody tells you about the Chargers needing five separate starting centers. Not as bad as three or four different quarterbacks. Craziness. I don't know. I like what they're doing with some of the acquisitions they have. They can run better with Mikey Iupati. They have Jermaine Gresham at the tight end spot. That's a fill-in. I like that a lot. Can the team stay healthy? If they can, I see them going 10-6, 3-3 in the division. Bottom line. Weezer Weez.
Yeah, definitely got to stay healthy, especially that Carson Palmer, no more signing contracts for him.
Well, and that won't be necessary. He signed the big one last year.
So no more. So just signed Chris Johnson, so that should help out their running core, get a little speed in there for him.
Not that Andre Ellington is bad, but I could see that 1-2 punch action there.
Yeah, most definitely. And so you have my prediction being 11-5 and 5-1 in the division.
That's an even better record than I picked for them.
Yeah.
Boom. 5-1. That's hardcore.
Yeah. 5-1. Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, that's okay. I have them sweeping the 49ers, too. It's fun.
Two of those games, 49ers. That's right. Come on.
Me, too. Hey, I picked the same thing. I have them sweeping the 49ers and getting swept by the Seahawks because they play them in week 17. So that is what it is. I don't know. Chris.
Yeah, with the Seahawks, Cardinals, with Chris Johnson and everything, him and Andre Ellington are like the same type of back, mm-hmm. basically. So you can insert them in on the same plays, basically.
Exactly.
You don't have to worry about different types. You brought up injuries. Their running backs have been injured this preseason. That's why they signed Chris Johnson, because of the injuries there. But they're also getting the player, the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, back off of his injury.
Yes.
So with him back there coming in, you know, most likely as the slot corner. It's actually, I'm listed as a free safety, so.
Yeah, well, so Patrick Peterson, the Honey Badger, and just a talented group at that part. Their linebacker core features Lawrence Timmons. And while they did lose Darnell Dockett, they still have Calais Campbell up front. And Darrell Washington is still out on suspension on the commissioner's list. If they get him back, too, that defense is well-rounded enough to support this offense, I think. Right?
Yeah, most definitely. And one thing to add, there was a practice that was about a couple weeks ago. Tyrann Mathieu
is the Honey Badger.
The Honey Badger. And he... He accidentally knocked running back, his name was Kerbin Williams, into Carson Palmer, and the guy, like, his heart, like, went to...
Everybody goes...
Went to his behind, and the guy was, like, freaking out type of thing.
But, oh my God, what have I done?
Yeah, he didn't give him, like, an autograph, sign this, please, or anything like that, so...
No,
but he's... Yeah. So, he's okay.
Thank goodness, we would have heard if he wasn't, right? Anyways, Chris, did you drop your
record? No, I got them going. Last year, they're 11-5, 3-3. I got them going 11-5, 4-2 this year.
So I guess technically speaking, I have them stepping back, I guess. I don't, whatever.
I had to go at least the same because, if they have solidified their quarterback there, they have a first-round pick. They picked offensive lineman.
You can argue they have an easier schedule, too, right?
Just because they have the Seahawks in their conference, so they got the second best teams out of the.
Well, no, I mean, like, the West facing off the NFC and AFC North, that's not a terrible schedule. I mean, it's not the, you know, playing against the Southern divisions, but, you know, it's. I don't know. I feel like it was easier than last year's schedule for them. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, they play the NFC East and the AFC West.
Oh, so. You know what I did? I copied and pasted from the wrong place. But yeah, so they do play the East, see? Damn it. What am I... Weasel, I gotta stop. I'm losing faith in myself again. I gotta stop doing that.
Just gotta move on.
The Cards' bonus games are the Eagles and the Saints. They play the Saints in week one, which I have them winning that game.
Me too. Me too. Sorry, in-laws. Deal. My mother-in-law's gonna be here next week. I'm glad she doesn't watch football because then I'd have to face it. I'm saying. Cool. All right. So with that, I'll try not to cry too much. That's why I put the equalizer on. It'll keep me all tough and manly and stuff. The 49ers. Weasel, I'll have you go first.
Oh, they lost, guys.
Wait. I know I said you go first, but I want to try to see if I can do this from memory. All the people they've lost. And then, like, whoever I don't come up with, fill in the blanks, okay? I want to see if I can do this without looking at anything. Okay? Okay, here we go. Chris Borland, Patrick Willis, Leonard Davis, Mikey Iupati, Dan Scuta, Gore, Frank Gore,
defensive lineman.
Damn it, Alden Smith. How did I pull that? Justin. It's because it just happened last week. Justin Smith retired then too. Was that the one you were about to tell me?
Yeah, offensive tackle also retired.
Well, I said Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis.
Yeah,
yeah. I was just going to talk about people that retired. and the thing is I have four. Yeah, right. So that's
that was pretty good, right? You only needed you had to help me with Alden Smith. That's on me, but I thought they should have cut him back in April of 2014. You know, that whole airline incident thing. So, okay. So I did pretty good. I only missed one. I can dig that. Weasel, go.
All right. So, I have the Niners taking a step back. They got a three defenders you got to replace. Got an offensive tackle gun. 5-11, 1-5 in the division.
And oh, by the way, don't forget, you mentioned the tackle. You got to mention that guard, Mike Iupati.
Oh, Iupati, yes.
Because I love saying that name. And two, because he was their best run blocker. Oh, by the way, congratulations, Chris Johnson. You don't have an excuse now if you can't run. You have a good O-line.
Mm-hmm.
That's an Arizona comment. Just saying. Anyways. Did you drop a record, or are we just having fun talking?
5-11 and 1-5 in the division.
Such a pessimist. Hey, not really. Hey. I'm talking smack. You're fine, Chris.
You got them doing better than I am. I look at this, and I mean, even if they're the NFC, which I was last year's. It's NFC North and AFC North they played this year.
See, I was right.
So,
student of the game, not just a clever nickname. Yeah.
So. They play NFC North, AFC North. I see them losing all those games.
AFC North and NFC, not even the Bears?
Yeah, I have them losing to the Bears.
I mean, they did last year.
Right.
You have them losing to the Browns?
I got them losing to the Browns.
If I didn't know you so long, I'd bet money with you on that, man. The Browns?
Yeah, I got.
You think Johnny Manziel's going to run over that defense?
The defense doesn't have anyone. They all have retired.
Navarro Bowman.
Yeah, that's all you got. You got one guy. Who else? I mean, who's the other 10?
Antoine Bethea. He's good.
Yeah, you can throw that docket. Yes, you do that too. But.
Yeah. Shoot, I can't even convince myself. Anyways.
So I got them going.
I know Montel Hardy hasn't beaten the Niners.
I got them going 2-14, 2-4 in division.
Damn. That is pessimistic. I mean, G. Stelio, when he reviewed them, had him at least going 4-12. 2-4, you're like Tampa Bay bad. I don't know about all that. Wow. I might have to put a chicken nacho bet on the line on that. I don't know about two wins.
Huh. Yeah. That would be an interesting bet.
That would be interesting. 3 wins. I win. Boom. 3-13. Suck it.
It's all going to come down to week 17.
It might. You know, and I'm
like, hey, I got them winning week 17. Against
really?
The Rams. So I got them going 1-15. Yeah.
Shoot, ooh. You were optimistic. See, that's the Ram game I see them losing. I see the Rams going to sleep in St. Louis. I think it's in like week 5. And then beating them in San Fran to finish the season to show everybody that Jim Harbaugh really was the answer. You should have paid him, York. That's Jed York, of course, the GM. So, yeah. See, here's the thing. I bounce back and forth between 5-11 and 6-10. But I went with 6-10, and I still don't know why. I may still change that to 5-11 because, technically speaking, none of this is locked in until the Monday before the season starts. So I could just be like, Chris, change it to 5-11. That could happen. But I do have them 2-4 in the division, being swept, of course, by by the Cardinals. Yes. Actually, probably if I change it to 5-11, it's going to be 5-11 and 5-1-5. So yeah, anyway, this is just falling apart, isn't it? Kind of like the Niners roster.
But now you know I got the 2-14.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Whew. What a mess.
You know, they got to play in Cleveland in.
So?
In November.
You think that it'll smell bad? I mean, what? I got nothing.
With the the departure of good old Jim Harbaugh.
Yes.
There were teammates that were talking about how. Here's a quote from guard Alex Boone.
Yes.
He said, let's see. he kind of wore out his welcome. I think he pushed guys too far. He wanted too much, demanded too much, expected too much. It's the freaking NFL.
Good point.
And it's like pushed them too hard, and that's why they kind of like dissociated with them. It's like kind of lame. So,
well,
I would put him down to, one more game, but I'll just keep it as I had it.
Yeah,
it's weak. It's weak.
I agree with you, Weasel. But I'll say this too. You know, to Alex Boone makes that comment. If that was true that he overstayed his welcome, how come so many dudes suspiciously left all at the same time when he was shipped out?
Mm-hmm.
Like it or not, maybe he did overstay his welcome or any of that, but his departure was the start of the meltdown. Is it coincidence? Is it connected? Who knows? But that was the first domino to begin the meltdown, at least chronologically. I'm just saying. Rams, Weasel.
All right, well, thanks to good old RG3, the Rams have a pretty young team, added first round draft picks and picks later than that also. And their main thing, Todd Gurley. The guy's possibly going to miss us. I don't know if he's going to be ready for the season opener, but that rookie, I mean, he was like one of those guys that you don't get every year. It's like a special talent, people called him.
Todd, not so Gurley.
And so their offense also, by trade, they got Nick Foles.
Yes.
So I could see them, you know, doing pretty decent. They're not going to make the playoffs or anything. But if that offense can click like that, they could be dangerous. So I got them going, though, 7-9. It's a game up of what I had, what there was for the standings, and 2-4 in the division. But just because Todd Gurley, he would be intriguing to watch. So
yeah, hopefully he makes it back. I'm curious to see what they did there with him, or do with him, I should say. Chris, Rams.
Yeah, see, I like what they did, you know, with picking Todd Gurley. You know, they, even though he's, you know, was injured and everything like that. But, you know, if you look at their draft, they picked second round offensive tackle, third round offensive tackle, fourth round offensive tackle, sixth round offensive guard. So they went for some beef there. Tried to help keep their quarterback up because they could in the last few years with Sam Bradford.
They have a whole offensive line that they drafted.
Right. Essentially, I mean, Scott Wells is gone, and then the left tackle there. Oh, my God, I don't believe I'm blanking on his name.
Jake Long?
Yeah, he gone. But they still have an excellent defense. I mean, James Laurinaitis is probably one of my favorite linebackers they got there. And they have Alec Ogletree. Then Nick Fairley, formerly a Lion, at the defensive tackle, sharing a front with Robert Quinn. The only thing that might be scarier than that is Watt and Wilfork in Houston. Okay? Pretty nice there. My problem, you already know what it is offensively. Yeah, you may feel good about Foles, Weasel, but they just don't have enough at the quarterback position to overcome all the defenses they're going to have to face. 8-8, 3-3 for your St. Louis Rams.
What I see here is that for the Rams, they're sitting on Todd Gurley. It's he's still recuperating from his ACL injury when he was with Georgia. So
boom.
Yeah. I think he could play, but they're definitely Jeff Fisher, so that they're definitely, you know, good to sit him.
I mean, Trey Mason and a lot of other guys are in that running back core that are still really good as well. So I mean, you know, I like what they're doing there all the way around. Again, I don't think their running game is going to be the problem even with Gurley out. I'm just saying. Seahawks, look, guys, let's be clear. I know that they got rid of Max Unger at center, but they still have enough offensive line to run the ball effectively with Marshawn Lynch. And, oh, by the way, they added Jimmy Graham to a guy who's a pretty accurate quarterback. When you're trying to sell me Russell Wilson is good, you sell me on the fact that he does well on third down and throws precise passes. You don't sell me that he's a franchise quarterback, because that $61 million he got is not commensurate with his actual talent. He's, of course, carried by a defense that's still great. The only problem I worry about now with that Seahawks defense, first of all, just like Michael Bennett said, you can't keep everybody. A. B. Said via Twitter, I should say. A. B. I'm worried about the opposite side of Richard Sherman. Before you had a Brandon Browner or a Vernon Maxwell. Now, I don't know.
Well,
and oh, by the way, Cam Chancellor's holding out, but I think they'll get that worked out. Weasel.
He's definitely, you know, still regarded as, you know, one of the top two. People are always saying, you know, Darrell Revis.
Right.
But so the thing about that is that Seattle's defense, they play kind of like a, I think it's like a kind of a zone type.
Yeah.
And so whenever they do throw his way, he does, like, you know, he gets a, he gets interceptions and all that stuff. So you're kind of taking off a side of, or a third of the field. But the thing is yeah, there's not going to be as much talent elsewhere. So, because they did, you know, have to drop some people. So
with all the people they got paid.
Yeah.
Like Russell Wilson, Marshawn Lynch, Richard Sherman, Bobby Wagner, and so on.
I forgot the defensive lineman's name, but whenever
Michael Bennett that got paid after he said that too? It wasn't Cliff Averill, I know that.
I was thinking it was because Bobby Wagner did get another contract, linebacker, and one of his things he said was that you know, for me to get all that tackles and stuff, a lot of it was due to his defensive line in front of him.
That's true.
And a couple guys, you know, they had to leave.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a, you know, interesting thing to say. But if you got superstars everywhere, if you good drafting too. The thing is they're all going to want to get paid eventually. So is there any word, Cam Chancellor? Is he
still holding out? As far as I know, so. But,
is there any word of a trade that's brewing? Or
you really, really want him to go to Minnesota?
That would be
you?
Nice. That would be pretty cool. So
I'm not fronting on it. It's okay. Yeah,
if he's still holding out, I mean, what are they going to do? So
bingo. Anyways, what are the Seahawks going to do regardless of whether Cam Chancellor stays? In my opinion, 12-4, 4-2. In the division. Chris.
Yeah, with the Rams, I had 8-8, 3-3. We just didn't go over that at the time. Oh, so I swapped. I matched you on that.
I'm
one.
Fired.
With Seahawks, really, I think this, with the Cam Chancellor and then other players that are coming up with their contracts this year, they're not going to be able to pay them, like you said.
Yep.
I think this might be the last year they're going to be top of this division.
I was going to, yeah.
So, with that, I got them actually still improving to 13-3, 5-1. They're only three losses. They're going to go 0-2 to start the season, I think. They're going to lose to the Rams, and they're going to lose to the Packers. Because the Rams always, for some reason, come up with some kind of weird thing to try to come out of the gates against
the
Seahawks.
You think they're going to lose to the Packers? I don't know about all that.
Huh. Just got a feeling they're going to lose to the Packers, and they're also going to lose to the Cowboys again this year, like they did last year.
I agree with that.
So that's the three wins I got them, or the three losses they're going to do, so they're going to be 13-3.
Fair enough. Weasel, wrap it up.
I got them 11-5, 4-2 in the division, and for me, they will not be winning the division.
About to say, that's two 11-5s. You got the Cardinals on a tie break.
5-1. The Cardinals
splitting,
5-1 in the division.
But, yeah, 5-1.
5-1 in the division, and you said they were 4-2 on yours, correct?
Yes, 4-2.
Wow, divisional record making the difference. The Cardinals sneaking in. Okay, I can't front on that. Okay, look, the physics of the divisional matchups in this game are crazy, and that based on that, you have Week 17 deciding that division. I believe the Seahawks play the Cardinals in Week 17.
That would be a pretty good game.
Expert analysis by Stephen Weasel Hurley. Weasel Hurley!
Yeah, boy!
Yeah, I have it here on my notes. They're going to get swept up by the Seahawks, in my opinion, because they play in Week 17. But you got them winning both games, and that's okay. You know what? I can't front on that. That's going to be tough to call. There have been games in the past where those two teams have collided, and even when Carson Palmer threw four interceptions against them, the Seahawks still lost 10-9 because Russell Wilson is so great.
For a lot of the players they signed for the Seahawks to these lucrative contracts, a lot of them they had the first year of the contract. The contract extension the first year would be from their rookie deal.
Yes,
so it's kind of. And the first year, kind of low. And,
like
but I think
Russell Wilson's getting $1.5 million.
Yeah. So I think for the remaining years, for a lot of them, I think that's when the cap number is going to go up.
Right.
So
right.
They have an impressive core, you know, for both sides of the football, but role players, they need them.
Yeah, actually, the draft is going to become very huge. But if you're a team that's gone to the Super Bowl 3 years in a row, let's say, or the past 2 years and then deep in the playoffs, you don't exactly have a high draft pedigree. Just throwing that out there, too. And yes, for the record, before someone else says it, yes, Russell Wilson's base salary is 1.5, but, you know, after the signing bonus, it's going to be a lot more than that. I understand that. I was just saying. Anyways, Chris, you're about to say.
Yeah, well, I was just saying, also, one we didn't bring up was the key loss of Max Unger, center.
I did bring up Unger, and my response is still the same. They got enough offensive line in front of him to do the job, I think.
Yeah, I think he got it. He was injured early in the season, but I guess he was gone for the, I think, at least half the season or so. The offensive line stood up, so they were like, "See ya, dude. We don't need you." But injuries, if there's an injury or something,
of course,
in the interior.
You could argue that they needed Jimmy Graham too. I can't front on that.
Got by with lesser
Luke
talent,
Wilson.
But it is Jimmy Graham. That's pretty ridiculous. So. In
so
a good
with
way.
His arrival, true or false, Jimmy Graham, now the best receiver in Seattle. Chris.
Jimmy Graham what?
Now the best receiver in Seattle.
Yes, I agree.
Weasel.
He's a tight end, not a wide receiver. So
he's best receiver, not
I
wide
didn't
receiver.
Say wide.
Receiver. Well, I would say yes.
Just say yes and we'll move on. Good, unanimous.
See, Doug Baldwin, Jimmy Graham.
Wah, wah. I would even take Jermaine Kearse ahead of Doug Baldwin. That's just me. Anyways, speaking of that's just me, that is just us. We are officially done with the NFC West. You like how I wrapped that up with the music there? That was tight.
Yeah.
Booyah. We're trying to do things on this show. Anyways, of course, you can find me on Twitter at the SOTG. Find my man Weasel Weez.
Yeah, boy.
At Weasel the SOTG. And of course, if you want your goalposts moving at Hydraulic Upright, you'll find Chris on Twitter. Quick note, guys, by the way, I heard a radio clip of a preseason game on Telemundo, and the team had kicked a field goal, and sure enough, you heard the Latino announcer going, "Goal!" Wait a minute. Oh! I mean, he did it like it was a soccer score. It was pretty ridiculous.
Did he say something? Field.
Yeah, he should have.
Field. Goal!
Here, I'll say. Weasel. Field.
Goal!
All right, you're right. That's kind of fun. Anyways, that'll do it. Of course, next week, our final week of the previews will be the East. Because, thanks to Pete Carroll, they host the champions. That region, anyway. Yeah. Still blaming Pete Carroll for that. Just saying. Yeah. So, until next time, everybody, class dismissed.